The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of The Drive underway. Brandon Orick has your Top 4 at 4.
Top 4 at 4, number 1, the NBA Draft Lottery is tonight in Chicago. Three teams have the same odds to as the best odds to land the number 1 draft pick. The New York Knicks, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Phoenix Suns all have a 14% chance to grab the number 1 overall pick, which...
My Lakers have a 3% chance.
Yes, which actually it's 2.
I hope the Knicks get it, man.
Whoever gets the number 1 pick is taking Zion Williamson. Bulls also, they're right there, have 12.5%, Atlanta with 10.5%. I mean, so you've got some really big markets.
There's no way they'll let Atlanta get that.
I read a thing today that said basically the Knicks, if they got the number 1 pick, because of their cap space, the fact that they could offer 2 max contracts this summer, might be inclined to trade that as a way to get Anthony Davis in, and then they might, you know, fall a little bit back and be able to draft another highly touted player or bring in another free agent or something. Like they're looking at this as their biggest opportunity, I guess, since the last time they had a high pick. Really, since Patrick Ewing. They haven't had the number 1 overall pick since Patrick Ewing, right? I mean, it's...
Yeah, it'd be incredibly... I think it'd be incredibly stupid to pass on
Zion.
Yeah.
I just hope the Cavs don't get it. They've had enough. They've had too many number 1 picks, and they've blown it
every
time.
Zion hopes they don't get it either.
I'd love to see the Lakers get it. Number 2.
Number 2, Tennessee baseball hosts Tennessee Tech tonight at 6 o'clock. Getting ready for the regular season series finale as Ole Miss, 15th-ranked Ole Miss, comes in here on Thursday for a 3-game series. And the SEC tournament starts a week from today.
Ole Miss coming in. Was talking with Rusty Enzer earlier today. He feels pretty strong about Tennessee's chances to make the NCAA tournament. Tell you what, man, winning that series against Florida, that was huge because the momentum had started to slide away from Tennessee a little bit, and they blew the first game down there on Friday night. They were up, I want to say, 9-2 and ended up losing, something like that.
Yeah, they gave up, I think it was 8-2.
So to be able to come back and grind out those last two games and win a road series in Gainesville was huge. Now you gotta finish it off. And then it's on to the SEC tournament where Tennessee hasn't been in a long time, and perhaps the NCAA tournament where they haven't been in. Well, they've been to the SEC tournament recently, but
2016.
Haven't been to the NCAA since
2005.
Ooh. Brutal. Coach Meatstick, chance to bring it on home. I got a Coach Meatstick rumor for you, by the way. I'll bring that to you coming up here in just a second.
Number 3, the lawyers for the family of Nicholas Emsberger have alleged that the Woods Jupiter has destroyed video evidence of the employee drinking at the bar for 3 hours to the point of severe intoxication. The family is suing the restaurant, owner of the restaurant Tiger Woods, and restaurant GM Erica Herman, who is Woods' girlfriend, for the wrongful death of Emsberger, who had a blood alcohol reading of 0.256. When he lost control of his car and crashed and suffered fatal injuries on December 10th of last year.
So, I don't understand how he was walking.
So he was one of their bartenders?
Yeah. Got off work and got hammered.
Drinking on the job. We were talking about this during the break. That's why, aside from the fact that it seems like it cost a lot of money, a lot of time, hard work, and all that stuff that I want to do, that's why I could never own a bar. Right, it's just like the liability that goes into it. That would keep me up at night, man.
Yeah.
And Tiger doesn't need this. I mean, the PGA starts Thursday. He's up there getting ready to try and make it 2 majors in a row, and now he's got to deal with this. I mean, that's got to be incredibly...
I mean, the key line in his statement it's his girlfriend's restaurant runs it for him.
Yeah, but it's his restaurant. And
yeah, legally it's his, so he's on the hook for it. But
well, they're also saying that like Tiger was there, like they were drinking buddies. They said they're like he knew what was happening.
Where are they saying? I haven't seen that.
It's his bar down there where it's Tiger Woods' restaurant, bar, whatever it is, down there in the enclave of Jupiter.
I just find it hard to believe that Tiger Woods is hanging out with a 22-year-old bartender in the afternoon.
I know, right?
Drinking.
seems unlikely, the Tiger we know.
Well, I mean, just given his schedule now that he's – I don't know. Call me crazy. Well,
they're saying this happened a while ago, I think.
I don't know. I'd be stunned, like, you know, they're putting Tiger at the bar when that afternoon. I just took it to mean, you know, it's his. He owns it.
I mean, it's not like Tiger Woods doesn't have a history of making really bad decisions.
Yeah, but he wasn't the one. I don't know.
He's had a DUI before, man. I mean, keep in mind, this guy who was smashing Ambien and boozing and driving it passed out on the side of the road.
You talking about the Thanksgiving thing?
No, I'm talking about like a year or two ago. You don't remember popped. That? He had a DUI?
He was
wasted. Yeah. The mugshot of glazed over is like video of him in the jail, just
sloppy.
Yeah, I mean, we all know how Tiger gets down.
He gets funky,
tearing the guy down here a couple of days before he's about to defend his championship. Good luck, Eldrick. Finish up strong, Brando.
Number four, we've got new odds on who will sit the Iron Throne.
Oh, new odds, fresh off the presses. Who we got, Brandon? Who's the leader in the clubhouse?
At -500, which is 83.33% implied probability. Bran Stark. Science.
Why is Bran? This must have leaked. It must be Bran. I'm buying it, man. This information must have leaked, and people know something's up. Bran Stark is going to sit the Iron Throne, isn't he?
Maybe.
That's what it looks like.
I'm the Three-Eyed Raven. I've won the Game of Thrones. I didn't even play. I won from my wheelchair. I grabbed onto a tree and I saw the future and the past all at once. The Three-Eyed Raven. I don't do anything anymore. I just sit here and stare creepily at people. The Three-Eyed Raven, Bran Stark. Started the show being thrown out a window, and now I'm going to end the show the most powerful man in Westeros.
Would that be majorly disappointing if Bran wins the Game of Thrones?
Yeah, probably.
Depends on how it happens.
Oh, man. Who are the other, like, who's number two, number three?
I mean, two is +400, so it's not even close, but Sansa and then +750 Tyrion.
Jon Snow is not even in the top three?
No, he's next, +8.
Wow. That would be shocking. All right, that is Brandon Orick, the top four at four, brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube Knoxville. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a text from a good friend this morning who will remain nameless, who took his car to he didn't take it to Jiffy Lube Knoxville. And he was giving me this horror story about how he'd been in line all morning. They were trying to bend him over for the air filter. You know, you ever been there? They try and bend you over for the air filter.
I ain't buying no damn air filter. That's a racket.
It was taking forever. And I said, dude, like, because I know this guy listens to the show. And I said, dude, Jiffy Lube Knoxville has been a fan-run sponsor for 2 weeks now. Have you not been listening to what I'm telling you? You can go to JiffyLubeKnoxville.com and get a $10 off coupon right now. It's free money. We all got to change our oil. It's sitting for you, man. Right there, JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. It's like somebody hung a $10 bill on a fish hook, and it's just hanging there waiting for you to go and get it. Just go get it. JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. Like, I couldn't believe this guy. You know, they've got locations all over town. There's 9 of them now. 5 of them are the Jiffy Lube multi-cares that can do tires, brakes, water pump, maintenance, mechanical, any kind of repair. You've got 4 regular Jiffy Lubes. They get you in. They get you out quick. They've got alignment racks at some of the multi-care places. They're all over, man. Just go to JiffyLubeKnoxville.com. Save yourself time. Save yourself money. Support Fan Run Radio. How hard is it, people? That's called the strong arm tactic live read right there for those of you taking notes.
Pretty good job.
Let's get Phil in here next. Hello, Phil. You're on the drive. Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Fan Run Radio.
Hi, Larry. How are you, Baron, Brandon, doing?
Doing well, doing well. How about you?
I don't know what's better, the Oil Bill segment or the Queen of Thrones segment.
Oil Bill?
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's what I call it now, Oil Bill.
Phil's letting the chopper spray. He's coming in hot, taking shots at everyone and everything.
Well, we got all sober to do it, Debbie.
It's true.
It's a good point.
Let's, you know, we want to talk about Tennessee football.
Yes.
But you sit here and all us blowing smoke about them, eighth recruiting class, that's kind of funny, isn't it?
That's it. Well, I mean, I didn't say they had an ace recruiting class. I'm just saying it stands to reason. If you include Aubrey Solomon and D'Angelo Gibbs, that it's – I mean, that changes things. Those are two highly touted players who've already played a lot and proved themselves not to be, you know, total busts. So, you know, those guys can do it at this level. And I thought that was an interesting ranking system.
Well, if we had them lawyers, they probably would be playing I don't understand what we're doing. Now, we're not doing like we used to, where we could get people to play and, you know, have get us the benefit of the doubt. Now, we're so crummy, we can't get the benefit of the doubt when it comes to the NCAA.
I haven't done a ton of digging on this yet, so I don't know. But I find it hard to believe that Pruitt and Fulmer are just letting these kids go into this battle by themselves. Surely they've got some, and I think I did hear that one of them might have somebody representing them, but, you know, surely there's a plan here
Solomon's needed more than the other one.
Sure. It's a line of scrimmage league.
And I can see Tennessee going to a bowl game next year, but the year after the schedule's a lot tougher, and I just don't see it.
Well, the year after, you should be ready to roll, man. I mean, there's no excuses in year 3. And I'm not – you know, I don't expect Tennessee to go to Norman and beat Oklahoma on the road. You know, winning at Georgia obviously going to be difficult. Winning Alabama anywhere is going to be difficult. But every other game should be winnable at that point, including Florida at home. You got to be rolling in year 3,
Garrett Conlon, quarterback in year 3?
What? You should either have him – or Harrison Bailey, and if you don't think either one of those guys can do it, you better go out to yourself and get you a grad transfer, because this 6-6 is good enough. That ain't going to fly in year 3, man. It's your third year. It's time to go win games.
Well, I think he needs to go to a bowl game next year, this year coming up.
I do, too. I mean, if he doesn't, I mean, we talked about that earlier. If Pruitt throws up a 5-7 this year, that's a major failure.
Yeah.
And we're going to be pissed.
Y'all talking about Keyon Johnson. I actually seen the guy play. He's nowhere. He's not similar type player to Guy or the other cat at Virginia. He's more like a Scotty Hobson, that type of player. He's an athletic player.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some, you know, some video. I mean, he seems like a great athlete. Very bouncy. Can pass the ball a little bit. That was the thing that stood out to me. I thought he's played more point guard than, like, we knew Scotty was going to be a wing coming in, and I don't know that this kid is going to play the point. He probably plays off the ball, but he seemed to have a, I don't know, better understanding, more complete game than Scotty Hobson.
He's a good player. They're similarly talented, but I think Keyon Johnson's got a mean streak in him, and that's what Scotty Hobson didn't have. If Scotty Hobson had a mean streak, he'd be in the NBA right now.
Yeah, he's still out there playing, man. I saw where I think he played in France this past year. He's really filled out too, man. He's a big dude now. But that'd be good, man. Phil, for all the grief people give Barnes about recruiting, you got this kid in the mid-state. You've been recruiting him, you know, since he was a freshman in high school. Your staff, you know, you got to land him.
Yeah, that's no doubt about it. I mean, the only reason Ohio State's involved is because the recruiter at Vanderbilt went to Ohio State. That's the only reason Ohio State's involved in this. And Tennessee and Virginia have been recruiting him forever.
Well, surely it's a Tennessee-Virginia battle, right?
Well, you'd think so, but who knows? I mean, we thought we had Jalen Collin in Virginia Tech. Of course, they kept the assistant coach that was recruiting him all his time, and I don't know, you know. I've been to Virginia Tech. It looks like you want to milk a cow out there. I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
Where's the Blackshear kid going to end up, Phil?
I don't know. Hope he don't end up in Kentucky.
Golly.
It's like Memphis is racking up.
Oh, my goodness. They got another one. We talked about that yesterday. Get another. They got the kid who reneged on his commitment from Duke, right?
Yeah.
Boogie.
And they got another guy possibly coming in, but you know, Tyler Harris, he probably wish he'd come to Tennessee now because he's going to be sitting on the bench at Memphis.
Well, live and learn. You know, we knew Penny Hardaway was going to be able to recruit, right? This should not come as a surprise. Maybe it's at a slightly higher level than some people thought.
He's got the Memphis machine up and rolling.
But, okay, you're bringing in, what is it, 5 top 100 prospects, top 50 prospects, including the number one player in the country next year, and you're adding a very polished grad transfer from Arkansas State. Like, you better win that league next year, right? I mean, you better win the American Athletic. If not, I think that looks like a tremendous failure. Man, imagine if John, because he's recruiting right now the way Calipari did when he was there. Imagine if Calipari did not win the league with Derrick Rose on his team.
And that would be interesting to see.
That would not be acceptable.
Is he going to be able to recruit prima donnas like Calipari could do it? I mean, you know, some of these guys are going to be sitting on the bench a little bit. Are they going to like that? I mean, I don't know. This is a new dynamics down there. Mm-hmm. So we'll find out, won't we?
We certainly will, Phil.
See you.
Thank you. Appreciate the phone call.
I'm not clinically depressed at the end of his phone call today.
Yeah. It was, I mean, you know, that was not all sun and roses. That wasn't tiptoeing through the tulips with Phil. I mean, we are talking about the fact that Penny Hardaway evidently is turning Memphis into the monster many people feared he would. But compared to his call yesterday, whew, I'm doing cartwheels right now. Tell you, I'm watching some Keon Johnson video right now. He can absolutely get up off the floor, man.
He's good. Is this the first time you've watched him?
In a while. Not the first time. Great athlete. Tennessee better get him, man. I mean, he's 3 hours away from your campus down there in Bell Buckle, Tennessee. You've got a huge need at that position. You've been recruiting him since day one. You were one of his first, if not his first, big-time offer. I know Virginia just won a national championship, but this is your state. He's 3 hours away, man. You got to go get him. And I don't – you know me. I'm not a Barnes basher. Don't particularly like the Barnes bashers. I shouldn't say that. I just – we don't see eye to eye. But
– You hate the Barnes bashers. It's all right.
This is – I don't hate anybody. I like to lift up, not tear down, Bear. You know me.
Okay.
You got a kid in your home state. You know, if Jaden Springer goes to North Carolina, he goes to North Carolina, whatever. He's a top 10 player who's from North Carolina. Okay. Tyler Harris, he goes to Memphis. Okay, he's from Memphis. I get that. Some of the other guys that we've swung and missed on here lately, Trey Mann decided to stay in the state of Florida. Okay, I get that. This kid's from Tennessee. He's 3 hours away. You've been recruiting him for longest. That would be a bad move, man. That would really sting if you can't get him. And you pair him with Corey Walker Jr. in next year's class, you're going to have your own top 10 level signing class. That'll be by far the best group of players that Barnes has ever brought in here.
Just need to add one more next year.
When you really need them. All right, stay with us. It is The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, a little fan run radio for your Tuesday afternoon. Stay with us. We're back with more right after this. Fox Sports Knoxville, it's Fan Run Radio, 422 on your Tuesday afternoon. Russell Bear and Brandon Cruz along with you here on The Drive. Open lines, you want to jump in, take your shot now, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue, smoke and not question. How much better will the Vols be in Jeremy Pruitt's second season? Over 200 votes cast now at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter, so we're beginning to settle in with a decent sample size. 60% of the audience says it'll be a little better. 32% say they will be much better. 6% say about the same. Only 2% say Tennessee will actually be worse next year. So it's so weird, man. Twitter generally skews negative. We talk about that a lot. Like, it's a lot of snark and negativity on all social media, but especially Twitter, right? When we talk about Tennessee football, not a ton of excitement, optimism, enthusiasm, whatever you want to say coming into the season. 92% of the audience says they're either going to be better or a little bit better or much better. Go figure.
Like I said,
optimistic.
Like I said, I think it's hard for people to really think and convince themselves that that will be worse. I mean, I know it's possible. I know it's possible that we can be worse, but I think most people think that we'll make a little bit of improvement. I think, especially getting some of these higher profile recruits in here and learning and especially bringing in Jim Chaney and Derek Ansley, I think that helps.
865-546-8200 is your number to get on the show. 546-8200. We are in mini term. Rick Butler is taking his class today. He'll be in shortly. He had a big speaking guest at his class earlier today. And then at the end of the month, it'll be first session. Summer school starts, I believe, the first week in June. You'll see it towards the end of the month, the rest of I'm calling it the number 8 class in the country right now, will be arriving. Henry Toa, Darnell Wright, a couple of other very highly touted players will be arriving. And that'll be a big boost, obviously, as Tennessee tries to take a gigantic leap forward in 2019. God, wouldn't that be awesome? Beat BYU, go down to Florida 3-0, beat the Gators, come back, conquering heroes, beat UTC. You're 5-0 heading into Georgia. This place will be frothing at the mouth, man. The Bulldogs to come in here.
I'll be out of control.
You'll be fired up?
Yeah, you think?
Who's next here, Brandon?
Barnaby.
Barnaby, you're on The Drive, Fan Run Radio.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Going well, man. What's up?
Well, I'm catching up on the podcast and stuff, and two things. I'll get on them real quick.
Okay.
I think when it comes to Game of Thrones, what has absolutely hurt, especially the past two seasons, is condensing and shortening it up. You're not giving things time to marinate, so when things do happen, they're just not as shocking or emotionally invested. My second point, and then I'll get off here, to the T-Corps and to the mayor and everybody else that calls in crying about how we don't have a quarterback, Garantano isn't the guy, we don't have a running back. It's like, Jesus Christ. If you look at Kentucky last year, who was their damn quarterback?
It's a good point.
I mean, well, where were their knockout wide receivers, this and that? I mean, they had Benny Snell and that Josh Allen kid, the only two players I can tell you on that team.
That dude, Terry Wilson, made Garantano look like the second coming of Peyton. I'm sorry, yeah. That guy sucks.
Yeah. So my thing is like, just calm down. We've gotten some more players in here. Second year, it seems like Pruitt's taking a step back. We got a new heavy in there running the offense that's proven. Just calm down, take a breath. Let's see what happens after, you know, the first three games, and then we'll move on with life. But you'll have a good day. Love your all show. Talk to you later.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, Barnaby. Great call.
We haven't heard from him since, what, voluntary reaction?
Just
been a long time.
Like, everybody just chill. Just relax. There's plenty of time to freak out. If we lose to BYU, we'll burn it down. We go down to Florida, get slapped around by the Gators for the umpteenth time. I know you think we'd be used to it by now, but we'll burn it down.
Be 2-2, getting ready to go to 2-3 with our only two wins coming against crappy teams, Russ.
There's no reason to be down in the dumps on May the 14th. I mean, we haven't even had Lindy's and Athlon come out yet. You know?
You got your football time in Tennessee. You already bought that, didn't you?
Heck yeah, I bought that. It's very informative. Fine publication the Kieringer family puts out every year. Love football time in Tennessee. Available. Got mine at Weigel's. They're pretty much everywhere now, though. Jamie is next on the drive. Hello, Jamie.
To the Barnabys of the world, I just want to say Judas Priest, Barnaby. Kentucky has a better on-the-field football coach than we do. So we're already playing from behind the eight ball. And plus, the last time I checked, didn't we spank Kentucky? So we're supposed to look to Kentucky for just to feel positive about our quarterback situation when a 5-7 team whipped that butt. That's such a genius phone call. That you found as a good phone call, I mean, there, Russ.
They did win 10 games with a garbage quarterback. I think you're missing his point, Jamie.
What's the point? Sheep it up?
The point is you don't have to have a stud quarterback to have a decent season in this league. People act like with like Jarrett Garantano as your starter that the ceiling around here is 6-6. I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true at all.
What are we going to do, power eye formation and defense everybody to death?
That's what Kentucky did.
No. Smoke and mirrors, the exception, not the rule. Guys, you know what I liked about Dooley more than I liked about Butch Jones? The fact that he sucked hard and got up out of the way. We only had to suffer for 3 years. Butch Jones come in and recruit hard enough to get Josh Malone in here and some Todd Kelly Juniors and some other four-star and five-star players. All it did was get us a half a decade of that nonsense, didn't it? It's not like we got anything more from the Butch Jones era that we didn't get out of the Derek Dooley era. And I just fear with the kind of class that we signed last year that we got just enough players to hang on to Pruitt, and he's going to stink it up too.
Live in your hopes, not in your fears, Jamie.
Golly, man.
Well, let me ask you this, guys. How has living in our hopes and not our fears worked out for us the last decade? Okay, go ahead.
That's a good point, Jamie. Curious. There's really no point in even opening summer practice, well, I guess. Just save the money you're paying Crazy Craig Fitzgerald. Just go ahead and fire him. Tell the players to eat ding-dongs and watch YouTube videos all summer long because 6-6 is probably the best we can do as long as Jarrett Garantano and Jeremy Pruitt are around town. So, really, what's the point in trying anyway, you know?
And it's the chance to have Chaney under a good head coach here because he ain't going to stick around through the next regime.
No,
hey, let me say this on the way out, though, Russ. You say, you know, there's nothing to worry about right now on May 14th. If we lose to BYU, we'll burn it down. If we lose to Florida, you know, if we get blown out again, we'll burn it down. You guys ain't burning nothing down if we lose to BYU. It'll be all, this is just year two. He's getting the young talent in. It's a wake-up call.
How long have you known us? Have we ever hesitated to burn it down at the first opportunity we got?
You guys
season?
Were all about Butch Jones going into
year five. Don't try and rewrite history here. I didn't like
it. You were a Larry Scott sheep.
Oh!
Going into year five.
Oh!
I was under the influence.
Larry's... Yeah.
I was under the influence.
Still are. Hang in, guys.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
God, Jamie's such a clown.
Oh, you said, like, okay, Kentucky won with smoke and mirrors. Fine, they won. Like, give me smoke and mirrors this year. Like, if that's what we have to do to win, then fine.
Seven or eight games?
Just do that until you can get, because that's what you got to do to get the kind of recruits we need to win 9 or 10 games, right?
Yeah.
So do whatever you got to do to win games so that you can get the recruits to where you can win without smoke and mirrors. Who cares how you win? You win.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, any upset loss that we've had through, like, did okay, we beat Auburn last year with smoke and mirrors. Oh, well, I guess it doesn't count then, right?
I mean,
last time I checked, it counted.
It was pretty fun, too, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it awesome?
It's not like we go down there and beat them with any regularity.
I mean, like, what are some other – I mean, it's been a long time since we've really pulled an upset on somebody. I remember we went down and beat Miami in the Orange Bowl in 2003.
Broke the streak.
Did it with smoke and mirrors. It was, what was that, like 10-3 or something we won that game?
Smoke and mirrors. We did it with Colquitt and played solid defense all day.
Did we beat Florida in the Swamp 2001 with smoke and mirrors when we were a 19-point underdog?
No, we ran all over them.
Okay, then – Kentucky ran all over people last year and played good defense. But just win games, man. Who cares how you do it? Let me say that Butch didn't do anything Dooley didn't do. Well, first of all, he did get those players you just listed, Jamie. And we did beat Florida.
Didn't know how to coach him.
We beat Florida for the only time in what, 16, 17 years, whatever yeah. It is now. We've won one game against them since 2005, and Butch Jones was coaching that game. We won a couple of bowl games. Oh, they're meaningless bowl games. Okay, they're bowl games. Like, we didn't win one last year.
Pretty good at the time. We were bowling.
You know, I mean, you want to talk about accuracy.
I got to go back to a point. Just so, you know, Brandon with his whole, it can't get any worse. You know, I remember people, probably you, Brandon, saying, yeah, Butch, he couldn't be any worse than Dooley. Couldn't be any worse.
Was he?
Yes.
But you just argued the other side of that.
No, I didn't.
Like, literally 2 minutes ago, we were talking about all the things that Butch did that Dooley didn't do. I mean, I'm not saying he was a great coach. I'm not defending him. I just say, like, if we're going to be accurate, let's be accurate. Did Derek Dooley ever beat Florida? Did Derek Dooley ever win a bowl game? Did Derek Dooley ever recruit a bunch of five-star players? I mean, yeah, Butch Jones is a clown. He sucked. But both of these things could be true.
Did Derek Dooley ever win just 4 games in one season?
No. But, I mean, if we're going to be accurate, let's be accurate here. Let's not just gloss over couple of things.
I mean, one of them's an offensive coordinator in the SEC, and the other one's Nick Saban's coffee boy.
Be kind.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville's Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. John Tweet is next. Afternoon Tweet.
Good day, sir.
Yes.
Trying to tie something to Titanic Williams' call, but that was a while ago, and then I got stuck and then couldn't answer. But
something about Dick Van Dyke?
I can't remember. Oh, the Kingsman movies are terrible.
You're an idiot. They're high entertainment.
All right, let's go. Let's start. What do you guys think the Kingsman rates on Rotten Tomatoes? Just off the top of your head,
64.
I mean, that's not bad, right?
I'm just saying my opinion. I don't.
Reek says 87.
I'll say 73.
Oh, I got to find it.
I'm going to say 84.
I actually went to the Kingsmen band, Louie Louie.
Louie Louie.
The Kingsman, The Secret Service, 74% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Boom.
60% on Metacritic. Seems like Bears kind of got you. It sounds like a decent flick, John.
Russ, you and I generally like and hate the same movies. We're usually pretty close on movies.
It's pretty scary.
It's just not very good, buddy. The guy that plays the like half-wit skier that was like in that the British skier guy, that's the guy who's the lead. And then the bald dude's and then Julianne Moore, who I genuinely cannot stand, is the villain in the second one, I think. She was the love interest in Boogie Nights, the older love interest, redhead.
You don't
girl.
Like her?
In Tweet's defense.
I really don't.
In Tweet's
I
defense.
I can't think of a single movie she's been in that I actually enjoy.
The sequel, Kingsman.
The sequel.
The Golden Circle in 2017, only 52% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Even worse than the first.
You don't like Boogie Nights?
Not as good as the first.
You didn't like Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights I did like. I just hated her in that. I found her like the most physically unappealing person I've ever seen, dude.
Oh, so you're just not a...
So weird, aren't you? Yeah. It what did tweet? It was claiming that Blink 182 is as good as Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Was that you?
What's that? I said something like they're just like Blink 182, but they're not good. Who was the band? I can't remember the band.
Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're terrible. I can listen to maybe one of their songs that popped up, and I was listening to Pandora, which I never do. But if it did, I might listen to a minute and a half of it and then turn it off.
Okay.
I mean, it just, dude, the guy in the band's name is Flea, and he's always naked. I don't get it. What's the point?
It has nothing to do with his.
It's called branding, John. It's called branding.
It'll
be consistent.
I mean, I don't know, dude. Just not that one album, and then it was kind of like that song was annoying. They were in that Limp Bizkit ilk. You know what I'm saying? I never really liked Limp Bizkit all that much either. That dude Fred Durst, that whole MTV thing at that time, just not a big fan.
They came out, they formed in like 83 or 84.
Who, Limp Bizkit?
I'm just,
no.
Chili Peppers?
I can't remember that.
It was like one of the
Chili
dumbest
Peppers
things
was 92, 93, wasn't it?
No.
What's the guy?
Californication album.
Oh, God. What's the guy from Limp Bizkit doing now? Limp Bizquick.
Fred Durst?
He's probably on some reality show.
Yeah.
Celebrity
No
rehab.
Way.
Rebuilding houses or something.
Yeah, some stuff.
Didn't Fred Durst do a porn or something?
Oh, come on,
John.
What do you got for us today, Tweet?
Well, that's about all I have, boys. Y'all be good. Have a good show.
Oh, man.
Called into crap on the Kingsman.
How can you not like
Chili Peppers?
Julianne Moore.
I mean, I don't particularly care for her as an actress, but...
I think she's a good actress. I think she's an attractive woman, too.
Nah.
No?
No. No, she's not.
Julianne Moore.
Mm-mm. Doesn't do it for me.
Maude in The Big Lebowski?
Nah. Just telling you, she doesn't do it for me.
I mean, I'm not saying that she's a perfect 10, that... Bo asks, did Tweet really just say, quote, in a porn? Would it not be in a porno?
Certainly not.
Who knows a John Tweet?
I don't know. I feel like in a porn, I feel like that works too. I feel like either way.
I don't know.
No opinion on this one, Brandon.
No,
you're not taking out a side.
I feel like it's not the right phrasing.
You agree with him?
Yeah.
It should be in a porno.
Yeah.
No, I feel like porn can be a noun. It can be something you do and something you be in. It's just it's kind of all encompassing, really. It's a really bad word.
No,
too.
But I mean,
like, it's
like
just
said,
it's a dirty word.
I'm
man.
In a porn.
Porn.
I'm in a porn.
we are cutting that clip out right now for use as a drop. By the
now
way,
now use the other version, which sounds
I'm in a
better.
Porno.
Which sounds better?
What's the one? Seth one and Mary make a porn, or what's the name of that movie? Make a porno.
Yeah.
It
wasn't make a porn.
Exactly.
Well, no, it wouldn't work then.
So what's the difference?
How about this? You can be in porn, but you're in a porno.
Exactly. Thank you. You just proved my point.
All right. Okay. John Tweet used the word porn incorrectly. Let us all shame him now. Point the finger of grammatical shame at John Tweet. You said that wrong. Shame. 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 Roger is next. Hey, Rog, what's up?
Oh, nothing much. How y'all doing this afternoon?
Doing great, Rog. How are you, man?
Oh, doing fine. Doing fine. Can't complain. I just wanted to ask y'all, first to answer your question to you, Russell Bell. I think Tennessee would be a lot better this year. And first time I wanted to say that, first. And just want to tell Jamie, what are you talking about, man, about this coming season?
What you talking about?
We can beat Florida. We can beat, you know.
Yeah.
I'm with that guy, Russell, called for him. Hodges, named Hodges, called in.
Barnaby.
I'm with him. Everybody just calm down a little bit.
Calm down.
Wait and see what happens, you know. No, Russell Bear just kind of wait and see what happens, you know. We could have a good season this year. It could be a surprise season, you know. You think Tennessee can have a surprise season this year? You know,
I think, you know, all these magazines are getting set to come out, right? And they're all going to say Tennessee 6-6, 7-5 at best. So, like, if Tennessee's somehow able to come out and claw out an 8-4 season, which I'm not predicting, but if they did that, that would be a surprise. That would be a pleasant surprise, and I think that would give you some momentum to where people would be expecting a big leap out of you in year three. Nobody's expecting a big leap this year. But to get that kind of expectation for next year, you got to go out there and surprise some people, win 7 or 8 games this year.
Yeah. And Barry, you think that you think it? I know it can happen. You think what chances, Bear, of potentially surprising if everybody say, "Wow," you know, Bear.
Well, Bear just up and walked out of the studios. He's very rude. And I will answer that question. The chances of a surprising season. Brandon, what, you take a shot at that. What do you think? Good 50-50 chance we get a surprising extra win or two this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think 8-4 is definitely a realistic possibility if things go Tennessee's way. And I think, I mean, going from 5-7 to 8-4, I think that would be a pretty big turnaround. So, and I think that's within the realm of possibility. So,
How fans surprised think be Russell if Tennessee can win some games after winning some games they're supposed to win? How do you think fans would say that?
I think fans who are realistic, if Tennessee were able to scratch out 7 or 8 wins, I think they would be, I won't say happy with that, but I think they would be satisfied and would then be looking for a dramatic leap forward in year 3, 2020, under Jeremy Pruitt. So that's what I think. Rog, thanks, man. We got to run. Quick timeout. You're listening to The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville, 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in here on the show today, 546-8200. We're back with more. I'll get that Tony Vitello rumor that's floating around for you when we continue next here on The Drive.
The Drive.
With almost 40 years in the industry, East 10 Warehouse and Distribution is the preferred source for third-party logistics. Their solutions include warehousing, inventory management, order fulfillment, pick and pack, cross-docking services. Contact East 10 Warehouse and Distribution today at 865-521-6143 or visit them online, east10warehouse.com. So the Vitello thing that I was hinting at.
What you got?
Big news in the college baseball world is Florida State baseball coach Mike Martin is hanging it up after a long time down in Tallahassee. So one of the plum jobs in college baseball is getting set to open up.
Oh, no. I know where this is going.
Well, I don't know that Tony Vitello has done – I mean, he's raised some eyebrows this season. Has he done enough to get the Florida State job? And you've got to think, and I'm no college baseball expert, but you've got, you know, the schools in Florida, you got three power schools down there, Florida, Florida State, Miami, obviously. Those are all great jobs, right?
Yeah.
Even the small schools down there can be great jobs. It's like when you see Cal State Fullerton or UC Irvine go to the College World Series, which happens all the time, right?
Right.
Like college baseball is just it's a weird sport, and it's so much location, 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 and can you get the players? So I don't know. My concern, and this is a good problem to have, right? It's been a while since somebody's wanted our baseball coach, and I don't know that Florida State wants him. Again, I don't know that he's done enough to even warrant consideration for that job, but I'll bet you he'd be interested.
Why you got to do this? I mean,
I'm just throwing it out there. It's not saying it's going to happen. Not saying that he gets even a whiff of that job. But this, we're talking about a guy that doesn't have any ties to East Tennessee, right?
Right.
He's a Missouri guy. He was on Van Horn's staff at Arkansas forever. Like, he's kind of a Big 12-y type guy. I guess he's – I shouldn't say that. He's in the SEC, but it's like an SEC West guy. And he's got some swagger about him. He's young. He's good-looking, articulate. He's got a – you know, he's a good recruiter. And he's instilled some confidence in our baseball program. So the way I look at it is Tennessee what's our commitment to him? You know, we talk about Lindsey Nelson Stadium being outdated. Doesn't seem like there's much of a plan to address that going forward. And I don't know that there should be, because our football program is in such dire straits that we've got to divert all resources to that, right? And basketball gets whatever's left over. Baseball is a distant fourth behind football, men's basketball, and women's basketball when it comes to priorities for the athletics department. And you can argue maybe it shouldn't be, but that's just the way it is. So if Vitello continues to build Tennessee back to where we were when we went to three College World Series in about 10 years, like, he's going to have some opportunities around here. And I just wonder, you know, Dave Serrano wasn't going anywhere because he loves this job. Okay, it didn't work out. Like, you never really had to worry. You know, Delmonico led us to those three College World Series, but to my memory, he was never a serious candidate for any jobs. I don't remember, like, teams coming to sniffing around Rod Delmonico trying to hire him away from us.
Mm-mm.
And I don't know that that's going to happen with Vitello, but I kind of worry about it.
Maybe down the road, I still think it's a little early for people to come calling on him right now. I could be wrong, but I mean, down the road, I mean, because he just because he is such a young guy, like you said, doesn't really have any ties here. I could see him leaving for another job. I don't think he's done enough yet.
Yeah, I know he was disappointed, and
maybe if their search goes wrong, like our football search, like UCLA's, back, and
yeah, surely and guys will be lining
swing
up,
and miss, no pun intended, but
surely guys will be lining up outside Tallahassee to get a crack at that job, because that's got to be one of the plum jobs in the country for college baseball. Quick timeout. The drive continues. Rick Butler's here. He's got your top five at five. Hour number three coming up next here on Fan Run Radio.